I won't be able to.
Welcome to the Why Not Today podcast with Leslie Kane. And this is a podcast that helps entrepreneurs take bold, clear steps to start a business, get unstuck, or grow with clarity, confidence, and courage. I'm Leslie Kane, a courage coach and founder of the Why Not Today movement. I created this podcast to honor my dad, Patrick Kane, who often said, "Why not today?" And that's become a guiding question in my life and business. Each week, you'll hear solo episodes where I coach through common business challenges and guest interviews that go beyond inspiration to teach you what actually works. Whether you're launching something new or navigating a pivot, you'll leave each episode with a clear next step and a reminder that you're not alone. And we'll talk into some of the ups and the downs in entrepreneurship. And it's not a straight line, as we all know, and we're not in this alone. So let's dive into Why Not Today, the podcast that helps you grow with courage and by taking action. And just FYI, I do not edit these episodes purposefully because that's part of the Why Not Today message. It is done and it's not perfect. And it's a real conversation. So I'm excited to introduce you to my guest, Debbie Heiser. And Debbie is a new friend that I met just about a month ago and instantly connected. And I'm like, you have to be on my podcast. So, Debbie, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and a little bit on who Debbie is?
Sure. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure.
I'm an applied developmental psychologist. I used to be a researcher who studied everything no one wants to have or get. And now I look at everything we have to look forward to, midlife and beyond. So I'm a mom, I'm a wife, and I run a business. And I like to play pickleball and take long walks in my spare time.
There you go. Is there a fun fact about Debbie that people might not know?
I think most people do not know that I'm planning to get another dog. That's a fun fact.
Oh, lucky you. I
Yeah.
have one and that's enough. Oh,
Well, I don't have one right now.
you
Ours
don't? Okay.
passed away, and so it took a long time for me to get to the point where I'd say I'd get another one.
Okay. Well, they are amazing. And I got my dog kind of the opposite way. A friend unfortunately passed away and I got the dog. Was not in the cards, and I did not plan on a dog, but it's almost 2 years, and I couldn't imagine life without her.
Oh, that's sweet.
So, all right. So, Debbie, what does courage mean to you?
Courage means stepping outside of your comfort zone to do something that you know is right or it needs to get done, even if you think there could be some kind of discomfort along the way.
Yeah. And isn't there always discomfort along the way?
Yeah, there is.
We just need to decide it's going to be there. And you know what? And I often tell people, like, think about it when you're done. Anticipate how you're going to feel when you're finished, not the messy getting through the stuff.
Yeah,
And we were just
absolutely. I
talking
agree.
before we went live about I'm going out of town this week. And I could say I'm overwhelmed and I got way too much going on, but I'm not going to. I'm saying, all right, I'm envisioning going to bed at an early time Wednesday night to get up early on Thursday with everything done smoothly, no hiccups in the world. So it's anticipating that it's going to be a good outcome. It may not be easy in between, but it's going to be good.
Yes,
So
that is
you
important.
have a cool, is it a business? Is it a nonprofit? I guess a nonprofit is a business, but let's talk about your courage journey. I know you're currently have something called the Mentor Project, which I love, but how did you get into that? And are there some why not today moments in your journey? And those are the moments I always tell people. It's those moments when you're doing something, you remember where you were, what you're doing, almost what you're wearing and how you were feeling. And it made a major pivot in your life that changed your journey. So let's talk
Yeah,
about those things. Just threw a lot
sure.
at you.
So it was something, the mentor project sort of evolved, but the very moment that I knew that something was going to happen was when when one of the people who's one of our founding mentors came to me and said, "I have a hard time finding mentees." And I thought, "Are you crazy? You're like world known. Everybody, uses what you invented," which he's one of the fathers, the network firewall. And I was like, "Why would you have a hard time finding mentees?" And he was like, "Well, I don't hang out with kids. I don't hang out with young people." And so at that moment, I thought, "Wow, that's wild." And then after that, he wasn't the only one to say that. Others said that they couldn't find mentees. So that pivoting moment was, we have to see if we can get Bill and others who say that they don't have access to mentees in front of mentees, because I did not know at the time what a hardship it was for people who couldn't get connected with mentees. They felt irrelevant, useless, not helpful. And I thought, this is a tragedy that, you know, our most prized library of knowledge is feeling like they are irrelevant. So
have you read yet the book? I might have mentioned it, Strength to Strength, or followed that.
I haven't, no, but I know I should.
Aligned exactly with what you're talking about. And somebody recommended it to me. And he actually, Arthur Brooks teaches a class, I think at Harvard, about happiness. But he also wrote a book with Oprah Winfrey. And Strength to Strength is basically talking about there's two kind of trajectories in our life. One is you're learning, you're achieving, you're huge aspirations, you're on the rabbit or the hamster wheel, basically. And then you get a point of your wisdom shifts, and now you want to give back, and you almost get to a midlife crisis, like you're bored, you're ready for something else. And it's a time to reinvent yourself and to give back. But introduction to the book in one of his stories is he was on an airplane, and sitting behind him, he could, you know, hear the conversations. This man was talking to his wife, like, just exactly what you say. I feel irrelevant. I feel like I'm invisible. Nobody notices me. Life sucks, blah, 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 blah. And so the guy's listening and just heartbreaking. And he stands up and looks back, and it is a very, very, very famous actor, successful, you know, major actor, major money. And he never in the book divulges who it is. He says, I'll go to my grave not telling who that is. But isn't that so true, that you get to a point that you just feel like irrelevant and there's so much to share?
We all don't hit that point where we feel irrelevant, but it's a developmental milestone. That's what most people don't talk about, is this is part of our emotional development. So just like you mentioned, there are boxes that we check, you know, go do this, do this, do this. But then we hit a point where we check those boxes and we say, where's the meaning in my life? Did I matter at all for being in the world? Did I make a difference in the world? And that's where people will say, this is my time to do that. And it's often an itch that we get that we need to scratch. A person will say, I need to do a podcast. And they do it. No one talks about it. Nobody says anything about it. Somebody says, I'm going to blog. Somebody says, I'm going to make a pivot and work more on the project that I'm passionate about as a side hustle in conjunction with my job. These are the subtle things that we do in midlife that are part of our developmental trajectory that we're supposed to do. And we tend to hit that by 50. And so that's really where I wanted to capture that developmental milestone and how it looks for people. Because within that milestone, the way we feel around, the way that we get rid of the feeling of irrelevancy is to engage in generativity, which is what the developmental milestone is called. And that is doing three things: volunteering, philanthropy, and mentoring. And we are engaging in that give back in those three ways.
Well, and that aligns so much with what I'm doing with this podcast and my Why Not Today movement. Is the mission of Why Not Today movement is to inspire us to live our life, be brave, and pursue our dreams. And so many people I've interviewed on this podcast and talked to have started a podcast, written a book, started a blog, started a new business, went on this trajectory based on a passion that most started as a passion project. And then it evolved slowly but surely. Rarely do we start and finish at the same place. Like, you wake up and like, I had this idea. Like, I had this Why Not Today moment to start a podcast and no idea. I was like, I still remember how scary it sounded. I'm like, you know, 6 months later, I started it, and 3+ years I've been doing it, and, you know, and it's evolved into a business. And so you just never know. So with your mentor project, you wrote a book too, didn't you, about it?
Yeah, it's called the Mentorship Edge, and it really talks about what mentorship is. Most people have a skewed idea of what mentorship is, and mentorship is an emotional interaction with people, and there's a lot that goes into it. It's not a transactional interaction. So it talks about that, and then different ways in which we engage in mentorship that are all around us. So yeah, I talk about all of that and why we do it, how we do it, and in a very accessible way, so anybody can read it and say, "Ooh, I didn't know I was already mentoring."
Yeah. And you don't realize too, what I found is I didn't know what I didn't know starting a new business. I mean, I've had a business for 30 years, but I was on a track of being told and having a roadmap for it because it was direct selling. But when I started my new business, it's like I didn't know what I didn't know. And so many other people don't. And I've had lots of conversations recently with business owners that tried to do it alone. And like somebody said the other day, she had many businesses fail because she tried to do it alone because of her ego. Like, I can't ask for help. And we all think that everybody starts a business and it grows and it's successful and there's no bumps because you just see beginning to end. You don't see all the in-betweens. And so I think we need to talk about that more and ask for people for help. Ask people for help. And that's what I did when I started my podcast. I'm like, okay, who has a podcast and who can I ask? Another friend of mine started a business. And I think this can relate to how women and men think differently. Like when I started the podcast, I reached out to people and asked people and had coffee with people. My friend started a business and her husband ordered a book from Amazon, How to Start a Business. She's like, I'm not going to read a book. Like, I want to talk to people. And so I think there's all different ways we learn and get mentored.
Oh, for sure. Mentorship comes in many different forms and in many different people. And what you say about we don't know what we don't know, that's pretty much a mantra that I live by, because none of us knows everything.
No.
And there's no business that is a solo business. If we look at all of the successful entrepreneurs, it was never one person. And mentorship was in that, whether it's lateral or hierarchical. And every entrepreneur starts with lateral mentorship because they don't have a boss. There's nobody above them that can
Right.
guide them. So they have to look to their left and they look to their right to find their mentorship to help what they don't know.
And I'm going to say, I'm sure you found in all these people you've talked to and facilitated with this is there's a lot of hidden mentors.
Oh,
Like,
yes.
I always talk and I wear the starfish necklace if you're watching and have it on because you I always talk about you never know who's watching. And whatever you do, you just never know who you're influencing, who could be listening to a podcast or who could just be watching. A crazy story happened the other day as I live in a condo and I'm on the ninth floor and I often do Facebook live videos up here I call it from up in the castle. And a friend of mine lives in my building. He's a real estate agent. She taught me. She goes, you're going to laugh at this, but some guy, I don't even know who he is, knows you supposedly or saw your video, which I looked yesterday and 126,000 people have viewed it. So who
Wow.
knows who's watched it, but he saw my video and he called her about getting a condo in my building, about buying one.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like,
Wow.
you just never know who's watching, who you're influencing.
You're
So,
right
in
about that.
starting the mentor project or other things you've done, are there things, obviously, it hasn't been a smooth ride. There's probably been bumps and ups and downs. So, is there something you wish you would have known before you put your hat in the ring and started this?
I'm trying to think because there's so many things that I wish that I knew that I didn't, but I didn't have a way of knowing it unless I had someone. So I don't know that I could have redone it. I had to learn it. So do I wish I knew AI back, years ago? Yes. Do I wish that I knew aspects of business? Yes. But I know different things that helped me. So in terms of all of that, what I didn't know, I found in mentors. So I feel like identifying what I don't know is the key, because sometimes it can be vague and you don't know what you don't know, but you also don't know that you don't know it. And I think that for me, identifying everything I didn't know, gee, it would be good to have a little bit more AI. It'd be really great to have a different perspective on bookkeeping and some kind of a business aspect of what I'm doing that is very practical. And then when I can identify it, I can find a mentor to help.
Yeah. And it's funny. So we know podcasts will live on. So we're recording this in July 1st, actually recording. It'll come out a little later of 2025. And if somebody listens to this 5 years from now or 2 years from now, it'll be funny to see how, when the conversation of AI comes up and it's fairly new still, and we're all figuring it out. And it's a fun game. And I'm actually going, as soon as I'm done with this, I'm going to a event that the chamber's putting on. That if somebody from Google is teaching on AI. I'm like,
oh, wow, that's
you
cool.
Have to become a sponge. But 5-10 years from now, if somebody listens to this, they're going to be like, what? It's kind of like when the internet started.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I started my first business without an internet.
we all did that, you know, and we all navigated our lives without phones at one point. So, you know, cell
phones. Crazy. I was at a coffee shop one day, and I was paying with cash. And I'm like, remember this stuff? I said, do you take it? They're like, yeah. And we started talking. I'm like, you know what? When I was, there were young kids working there. I'm like, we didn't even have phones and we didn't have GPS. Like, they're like, how did you go anywhere? And I said, and we would go to DC to a bar and meet our friends by arranging it ahead of time. There was no, I'm here, find me. We would just go.
Yeah.
Like, looked at me like I had three heads. Like, what are you talking about, lady?
But, I know.
And things are just moving so fast. So what is one thing that you're glad you didn't know?
I'm glad I didn't know how much work goes into starting a company.
Yeah.
I'm glad I had no idea. I'm glad that I was fueled by passion.
Yes.
And questions.
So yeah.
I think that I just thought it was solve each problem that arises, as opposed to saying to myself, now that I know what's involved in it, I'm getting ready to start another company. And I'm like, better gear up because I know it's going to be a lot of work.
Yeah, it is. But the other option of working for somebody else is like, ooh, that's yucky for me. Like,
yeah. Or not doing it at all.
Right.
You and know,
if you can make a difference in one person's life, you've made a difference.
Absolutely. And if you can also make a difference in your own by answering some of the questions that are there, we all have them, or we all say to ourselves, what would happen if I did this? And we imagine it in our mind. Ooh, what if I took this side hustle and did something with it? Or what if I answered this question that I have, what would happen? And it becomes like a fantasy in our minds. Well, we can do that. We can go down that path if we want. And that's kind of exciting to know that we can do that. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? You'll fail and someone will be like, well, that was a bad idea. But that's the worst thing that's really going to happen.
Yes. And I say that often, you know, and, you know, we can create all these stories in our head of all the bad stuff, but why don't you create the good stuff? Like,
yeah,
if you're going to create a story, might as well make it a good one. So do you want to share what your new company is?
Sure. So I really feel like with the Mentor Project, we were able to show that generativity works, you know, that giving back, people are built to give back. The whole company was built on volunteers and mentors who gave their time and philanthropy, the three arms of what generativity is. And we were able to give back like $3.5 million of mentorship hours last year. So I thought, you know what? It'd be really cool if we could take that and move it into legacy. So I can't divulge all of the details of it yet because I haven't put it out there yet, but it's going to be taking those and showing how we can look at our own legacy and quantify it in a way that we can see the impact that we make in the world, because most people don't know how much impact they make in the world. When I can tell a mentor, hey, you were able to give back $1 million worth of mentorship hours in a year, that feels amazing to people. And that doesn't even count all of their volunteering time, their philanthropy. Every time you round up at a grocery store, you give back to, you know, an organization. So I feel very strongly that I'm moving to the next level with what I started with the Mentor Project.
Can't wait. And, you know, it goes back to the dash, you know, that story. What do you do with your dash, you know, between when you're born and when you pass away?
Mm-hmm. It's the process.
Yeah. So how would you encourage somebody else to start a business, to mentor, to Or before I ask that question, hold on, we're going to go back. Like, how does somebody get involved with the mentor project? Is that something somebody can be a part of?
Oh, absolutely. So it's easy. If you go to mentorproject.org, you'll see that you can click a button and you get mentorship for free if you're a student. It's free globally for anyone who wants a mentor if you're a student.
Okay.
So click the button and off you go. If
you're
you
just want, a student of life,
then you can get involved in different ways. But we do right now offer free mentorship to students. Okay. So if you are looking to give back in another way through becoming a mentor or volunteering or philanthropy, you can just hit the contact button and let us know. And somebody reaches out right away to talk to you. So easy way to get involved.
Okay. Yay. All right. So how would you encourage somebody else to go back to that question?
So the biggest thing that I learned on my journey with the Mentor Project is surround yourself with people who know things that you don't. So I remember my dad told me years ago when I was young, you always want people who are smarter and better than you around you. You know, you should not ever be competing with those who are around you. You should be giving what you are better at and taking what they're better at and working with that. So I think that that is very true. If you want to start something, ask yourself, who knows things I don't? And that's who you align yourself with. Right. So if you're really good at accounting and somebody else is really good at marketing, you should really be talking to each other, because people like to help each other. When people reach out to me and say, hey, can you help me out? I do. I just got on a call yesterday with someone who actually you put me in touch with. And I was able to help her to redesign how she should be looking at her program. And she was really thankful. And it was because I did it. I already know how to do it.
Right.
And
it's easy for you.
Exactly. And in like less than an hour, I was able to tell her how she could make all the tweaks that would make her company run really, really well. So did I think, oh no, I just gave away something that's valuable that I shouldn't have? No, I was like, good, this is helpful to her and her success does not hurt me. Great, we are both winners.
She's doing cool things and the ripple effect, everything we're all doing makes such a difference. So, go ahead.
So that is what I would suggest to people is to think you are not engaging with competitors. Everyone is your ally and friend in helping you to get where you want to go, and they're going to want to help you.
Yeah, so true. And with my Mary Kay background, that's something Mary Kay taught for years. We'd never competed. There's no territories. And she always said, you know, if I have an idea and you have an idea, we both have an idea. But if we share our ideas, now we have two. And so through, you know, growing my business, especially when hard times hit, September 11th, COVID, you know, we had to re-pivot. We had a whole community of people doing it together and helping each other, not saying, okay, I'm going to do this, you don't do that. And I actually even took it to, I was helping a friend who owns a restaurant during COVID, and myself, her owning the restaurant, and then two other restaurants, we met weekly to say, even though they were competing restaurants, like, where are you getting paper towels? How are you getting heaters? How are you separate, you know, all the things. And it worked because we were in crisis. How can we help each other? And that aligns with where my heart is. And what I'm just kicking off is women taking action, an inner circle group to surround ourselves with people in different businesses to help lift each other up, to have experts to be able to bounce ideas off, have that community, but also have the accountability and the tracking, because I think that's the action doesn't happen. I listened to something this morning. It's like action happens in social circles. Like when you have that social somebody else to say, you can do that.
So. It does, because you engage in lateral mentoring. So that's when you are able to see, oh, I can trust everybody around me. And I can open up and show my vulnerabilities and what I need. And then somebody else can say, I can help fill that void for you. Absolutely. And that's called lateral mentoring. It's when you don't have a hierarchy, nobody's the boss. But that's the most powerful, most impactful kind of mentoring. And it's the most overlooked. But if you look at Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, they started well before Apple. They started when Steve Jobs was working at Atari, and he didn't know a certain kind of programming. So he called his friend Steve Wozniak, who was at a different job, and said, hey, can you help me out? And Steve came over after work to help his buddy with something. And that led to Breakout, Atari's first big video game. And then, of course, they went on to do other things. But those little things that we overlook and think, well, I was just helping a friend. Oh, I just answered a question, is much more powerful than any of us ever knows. And when we don't acknowledge that, we don't acknowledge our own power. Like, I've seen you in action, Leslie, when you're helping out people, getting them to see different ways of doing things. And then, and I've seen this with other people too. It's when we can say, wow, I can do this. I have this power, that then we're able to have even more emotional fulfillment for ourselves. And it's when we thank people for doing it as well. When somebody says, thank you for mentoring me, like the person I helped yesterday, she sent me a thank you note yesterday. And then I got to feel like I did help her. I made an impact. It didn't just get lost in cyberspace somewhere.
Right. And I think there's lots of things to unpack in there. That one, that when we're able to help somebody, it helps our confidence and our, you know, we feel like, oh, I didn't realize I know this, this, and this. Like my brain, and you've mentioned this, thinks in systems. And I just thought everybody did. And we all have those superpowers that when somebody's like, how do you do that? I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so easy. Like when Sam reached out, Sam Horn for the Clarity Weekend, she reached out to me about a location. I'm like, I just went into event mode, planning the event. And she's like, okay, you obviously have done this before. I'm like, it just comes natural. But then the other thing is, you need to allow people to help you as well, that it gives joy to help people, like you being able to, and I'm assuming you're talking about Carrie, that you being able to help Carrie made you feel good. And if I hadn't connected you, I'm like, oh, Debbie's too busy, she's not going to want to talk to Carrie. But I often tell my mom this, when you don't let other people help you, you block their blessings to be able to give back.
Yeah, it's so true. You're not allowing somebody to get that great feeling.
Yeah.
And if Carrie's company succeeds, I'll get to feel so good about having that talk with her. You know, it's just, it helps everybody.
Well, and I don't know if she told you that her, what she was, and she was on this podcast. If anybody listens, she wants to listen to Carrie Schramm. She's got a really cool story. And when she got the job as executive director for this nonprofit, her two jobs, she tell you what they were?
Yes, she was in retail.
Well, no, her two assignments with this new
nonprofit. Oh, I didn't hear.
The boss said, one, you have to change the world. And she's like, okay. And the second was organize a golf tournament. She's like, okay, that sounds scary.
Oh, that's really funny.
But just love that. Well, I always try to connect my guests back to my dad. And I made a page of notes on things that you shared. One, he was a mentor without knowing it, and or he knew it, but he definitely was a mentor in such subtle ways, from friends coming over to the house to go out or go play when we were kids, whatever. He would be like, oh, Debbie, you, before you go out with Leslie, grab that bag of mulch and spread some mulch. And they would do it. I'm like, what are you guys doing? But I had two friends tell me after he passed away that they had more conversations with my father than they ever did their own father.
Wow.
Yeah. And talking about making a difference and mattering. You know, he touched so many lives that I had no idea. And when he passed away, the funeral was standing room only.
Wow.
And just people still are stopping me and would stop me and like, oh, I know your dad, or, you know, Kane. Somebody walked in my house one day and she saw a picture of my dad. And she's like, how do you know Pat Kane? And then she looked at me and she goes, oh, wait a minute. I never put two and two together.
That's really funny.
But yeah. And you talking about the worst things that can happen. That was something he taught me, you know, ask, do the thing. What's the worst that can happen? And he always talked about giving back. I still remember being, you know, just out of college, and he was having one of those talks with me and my friends about giving back and making a difference and volunteering. And we're like, oh, we don't want to do that. And, you know, we were just out of college. We had more fun things to do. But it's amazing, just not even intentionally. That's how I was raised and that's what I do. And you know, people are like, how do you do all that you do? And I'm like, I don't know. Just, I say yes. I should say no. I just got volunteered for another committee for another event. And they're like, you know, people, you have connections, you have ideas. I'm like, I guess you're right. So, but yeah, giving back, it definitely makes a difference. And we find time, and you just never know who's in that world for your business when you're giving back. You never know where those blessings are. They're always there.
Everywhere. And your father had some wise advice that I'm excited because you are a modern mentor as a podcaster. So your dad's words are still living on through your podcast, which is kind of cool to see how that works.
Yes, definitely. There's definitely a lot of legacy. And I have a sister that lives locally. She worked, my dad started the Reston Chamber. My sister Alicia worked for the chamber for a while. And now she works in a role like connect a relationship in a credit union. And it's kind of funny. We'll go to events together and people are like, oh, I just met your sister, or you guys are sisters, or the comments. Or one day I was talking about my dad and they're like, oh, I met somebody else whose dad started the chamber. Do they know each other? I'm like, yeah, same person.
Wow, that's great.
It's kind of fun. But well, I loved our conversation. I'm going to share all your contact information in the show notes. Any closing remarks, anything you want to share before we wrap this up?
Yeah, look left and look right. You will be looking at your next mentor or mentee.
All right, I'm going to do that. I'm going to an event when I'm done. I'm going to do that exact same thing. So I'm excited to stay connected with you and your new project and your legacy. And the good and the bad about having a podcast is I've have all these great authors on here, and my stack of books is ridiculous. There's just not enough time in the day. So I'm going to have to get your book too.
Absolutely.
So, well, and thank you for being my guest. And thank you, everybody, for joining us on the Why Not Today podcast. It's your space for practical tools, real encouragement, and courageous growth. Whether you're launching something new or navigating a pivot, I hope you're leaving today's episode with a clear next step and a reminder that you're not alone. If you're ready to take the next step or interested in any of the programs I do, you can check out everything Why Not Today on whynottodaymovement.com. And this podcast is meant as your bridge from inspiration to action. And I'm here to walk with you every step of the way. I'm all about action, doing it. So if this episode spoke to you, share it with a friend, leave a review. Of course, you can subscribe. And remember, you don't need to have it all figured out. You just need to take one brave step. And why not today? So thanks, Debbie.
Thank you.